Back in January, we had a Bible school and the theme was hope. And it's interesting because God's been prompting me to think about hope again in the last few weeks. Now, if you were at the nursing home a couple of weeks ago, you'll hear touches of some of the same things today, but I've done lots of thinking, so I have some more things to say. And I was in Sydney this week. Actually, we had a few people in Sydney this week. If you see little girl Daniela and little Scotty after church, they both swam at a state primary school swimming championships. We had Rebecca also swam at a high school swimming championships. We also actually, JAG has been selected in Catholic Schools MacKillop regional football team. So we've got some young people doing amazing things. But I was in Sydney this week. And I don't know, every time I get behind the wheel of a car in Sydney, I hope like heck I get where I'm going. Not so much about my own driving skills, but the traffic, it goes everywhere and they're making decisions at, you know, 110 kilometres an hour down the freeway. So I had a lot of chance to reflect on hope, because not only do you go 110 kilometres an hour making split-second decisions, a kilometre down the road you might be stopped for 15 minutes while there's nothing going on. So I was reflecting some more on hope. And I think in life, sometimes we hope without really understanding what we're doing. Like, I know sometimes, oh gosh, I hope I get a parking spot outside the bakery. You know, I hope I lose weight but then eat half a block of chocolate. I hope that the last hot cross bun is on the bench when I get home from work and I haven't said to anybody, please don't eat the hot cross bun. So we do that sort of hoping. But there's also the hope we have of our certain salvation. And Stella just wonderfully brought out all those things that Jesus on the cross and his resurrection has won for us. So today I just want to talk a little bit about hope. We're not going to touch on every Bible verse, because depending on your translation, it's mentioned somewhere between 140 and 180 times or thereabouts. But I want to share with you six things about what hope is. But by way of introduction, let me share with you what hope is not. Hope is not pretending that troubles don't exist. Hope is hoping that those troubles don't last forever. Hope is pretending that people don't get hurt. Hope is believing that they will be healed and that difficulties will be overcome. Hope is not pretending that lives are perfect and we have everything we need all of the time and that decisions are easy and we never have obstacles. Hope is not that. Hope is that we'll be led out of the darkness, we'll be led through the jungle, we'll be led over or around the obstacle. And our sure hope is that, you know, we'll be led out of the darkness and into the sunshine. Now, one of my favourite ways to look at words is, you know, whether words are nouns or verbs. It's only because I'm an English person. I was a journalist, worked at a newspaper for a long time. So a verb is a doing thing and a noun is a thing. So a chair is a noun, jumping is a verb by way of example. And there's a few words in the Bible that are really cool because they get to be both. Faith is one, because faith is and faith does. Love is one, love is and love does. But hope is also one. So I want to talk to you today about what hope is and what hope is doing. Without hope, we'd be on our way to hell in a handbasket. But our hope is in heaven. Our hope is restored in Jesus. And hope is something that you have when you've got nothing left. And I've heard said and understand that if you have hope, you have everything in some ways. As you know, we've got some folks away, so we've got people doing different jobs. I'm not sure if Ash can get the Bible verses up on the screen behind us. If not, that's fine. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Saviour and my God." So I will put my hope in God. And that hope is the hope where we wait for something, we expect for something, we tarry. And it's interesting when... I had some Bible verses on the paper I thought you might flick up, but just hold that video, we'll run that one in a second. So that hope in Psalm 42:5 is the waiting for something. And it's interesting, in the definition of that hope, the word hope is also used, and it means to hope for something. But in Colossians and Timothy, there's a different hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven." And it's the same hope mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:1, Christ Jesus who gives us hope. And that hope is our eternal hope. It's the expectation and joyful and confident expectation of our eternal salvation. So it's knowing that no matter what happens here, no matter where things are at, no matter what goes on in life, that if we love Jesus and we accept Jesus, that we have somewhere better to be in the end. Now this verse, Ash. So just direct your eyes to the screen for a second. This will be the video. Yep. Hope is not a strategy. Without a plan, hope is just another idea. God has a plan for you. To give you hope. For a brighter future and a better life. With him. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Those words were written by God to the captives in Babylon. So Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders and the priests and the prophets and all of the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. But God promised them that they would find him and he would end their captivity. And as I share today six things about hope, I just want you to know that God has a plan for you, a plan to give you a future and a hope, and that hope is about the waiting and the knowing, but it's also knowing what we're waiting for, and that is our certain hope in Jesus. So if you're experiencing, you know, captivity in any area of your life, or difficulty or hardship, or, you know, Stella prayed about, you know, financial or physical or mental or any types of those situations. God has already won that for us, and we have a sure and certain hope in him. In Jeremiah there, God realised his people were captive. He realised they were in a difficult situation. So he spoke his thoughts to them through Jeremiah's words, and he said, you know, you need to know that I'm thinking about you, and you need to know what my thoughts are, and that I'm thinking good things for you. I'm thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil, you know, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. And today, if you're in any kind of captivity, in any area of your life, or you know of people that are, just know that God is thinking about you and he wants to give you a future and a hope. Know that things are not always as they are now. The words we read in Psalm 42 verse 5 and in Colossians and Timothy and in Jeremiah, they apply to us as they did to David, as they did to Abraham and as they did to Paul, as they did to the people of Babylon. We need to put our hope in God. There's an email that I get usually about daily, and it's called Mikey's Funnies. And Mikey is a Christian fellow in the US who made it his ministry to provide clean jokes on the internet, and he sends out a daily email, and sometimes they're quite short and sometimes they're quite long and sometimes they're really funny and sometimes they're a little bit funny. But I've never met him personally, but I've been receiving these emails for a few years now. So Back in 2015, in October, he sent an email, and it wasn't really a funny, but it was a story. And it said he'd had a few people asking in his real life about an update on his medical situation. And this was October 2015, and he said, short story, in January I get a new kidney. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And then it said, long story, I was called on Friday to let me know my donor is not a match for me. So they referred us to the paired donor exchange program. They will find that donor, a person who she matches, and they now have a donor who is a match for me. This person is a local, which is the best scenario since a warmer kidney is a better transplanted kidney. The donor has requested to wait until after the holidays, which works for me. The boring stuff, my day-to-day life is a roller coaster of energy swings, side effects, and chronic fatigue. I've learned enough about the medical world to know that all of this could change on a dime, so I'm holding on loosely. And then he said, and it stuck with me, so I searched it up this week to tell you the story. And then he said, but it gives me some light at the end of the tunnel, and that light's not a train, it's hope. So I want to share with you today six things about hope. And preface that also by saying that biblical hope is built on our faith in Jesus. So firstly, hope is helped by hearing, or hearing can give legs to your hope. So hope comes from hearing, just like faith comes from hearing. When circumstances are tricky, the devil will try to get us isolated so that we're not reading his Bible, we're not talking to other Christians, we're not going to church, we're not hearing the testimonies of what God has done for other people or how they came through their struggles and how they made it out the other side. Often if we feel under attack and feel overwhelmed, we can isolate ourselves and withdraw ourselves from the world. But in reality, that makes it harder to hear the stories of hope. We can hear stories of hope by talking to other people. We can hear people's testimonies. We can listen to the good things God has done in their lives, how other people have overcome difficulties. And when we begin to hear stories of hope and we hear how God has helped people, the wheels of our own deliverance from whatever circumstances we're in can begin to turn. People write books about their victories and about how they've overcome their struggles and about how hope turned their lives around. Our friends can tell us stories about how hope has changed their life. And we can encourage each other. We can encourage each other that God can turn things around for us. So we need to hear other people's stories. We also need to hear the stories of God. And we hear those stories by reading the Word, by being in church, by praying. There's a Bible verse in Romans 15, verse 4. And it says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. In the King James Version, that reads, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So, this was written so we could have comfort and hope. Whatever things were written before, whatever stories are written there are for our benefit, that we might be comforted, that we might be encouraged to endure, that we might be encouraged to have patience, that we might be encouraged to have hope in our situations. How many people can relate to the life of King David? If you're facing impossible obstacles, or if you have Goliaths in your life, or if you messed up, the words of the Bible were written for your benefit. God turned it around for David, and he could turn it around for you. I find that reading Abraham's story is a story where hope abounds. So Abraham was married to Sarah, and Sarah was barren, and Abraham was old, and Sarah was old, and they weren't having a baby. But God had made them a promise. And it was written that, I have made you a father of many nations. And Abraham responded and he said, who contrary to hope or for against all hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So we can hear by reading the stories of hope in the Bible. Abraham's faith was and hope was anchored in what God had spoken, not what was going on around him. It was in God's promises. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, be ready to explain it, because we have a certain hope. We have the hope of a full salvation that Stella spoke about. So listen to the times God prompts you to share your story with someone else. You never know what sharing your little story of hope will do for someone who might be feeling hopeless and you might not even know it. And that's sharing your stories about the things you hope for, like you had no money and you had a call from your boss to do a casual day's work. That's happened. Or the stories of hope where you hope you got better from an illness and you were healed. But it's also about sharing our story of our certain hope of the future that we know about in Christ Jesus. The second thing about hope is that hope offers options, or in other words, choose hope. There are options, almost always, there are options and choices we can make. It may seem that in present circumstances we can be really confined, but more than likely we have an option. Realising that there are options can overturn the confinement of hopelessness. Realising that there are options overturns the confinement of hopelessness. Sometimes the only option is to choose hope. Sometimes there's a physical action we can take, like, I hope to lose weight, okay, so I won't eat the half a block of chocolate. So in the options, I'm talking about the two areas, the one that is and the one that does. So we have to choose hope, but sometimes we have to take actions. Sometimes we don't realise what the options are. We may not always see them readily. They may not be readily recognisable, but they do exist. And if you begin to look for them, sometimes they become more apparent. And God has already said something about our situation. He's already said something about our options. And he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I think sometimes when we're feeling a bit hopeless or we can't see, that there's options we haven't found yet. And there are options. In our situation today, there's a choice we need to make, an option we need to take. Sometimes the option just boils down to being faithful. And faith can be expressed through action. And it might be different from one person to another. And sometimes the choice is not something we physically do. Sometimes the choice is to acknowledge that little flicker of hope that's in our heart because we have that promise of a certain future. Christopher Reeve was the American actor who played Superman. You remember the blue suit and the red cape and the cool movies. So Christopher Reeve became a quadriplegic, totally reliant on carers, had a permanent tracheotomy hole. And after that occurred, he said, once you choose hope, anything is possible. And he went on then to raise awareness for all sorts of spinal cord research and a whole variety of different things. I don't know if he was a Christian, possibly doubt it, but he still chose hope. At school on Friday, we had a morning assembly. I was teaching on Friday, and one of our staff came out and she was just dressed in some sports clothes, but she had a T-shirt with a slogan on it. And she was talking to the kids and she said, you know, see my shirt? She said, that's what I do every day. And her shirt said, choose joy. And I wonder how it would be for us if we're able to always choose hope. There's an oldie song, and I won't sing it. I used to play it on the flute a long time ago, and it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So when nothing else is possible, we can still do that. And that's still making a choice, having an option. I'd also say that hope encourages persistence. And persistence is where you just keep on doing what you know is the right thing to do. Even if it's tricky, even if it's hard. With confident expectation, we can continue to demonstrate our faith. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. We have to be persistent. There's a lady from Narendra, there may be more than one this morning. They're actually running in Canberra in a half marathon. Now that's going to take some persistence, I can tell you, and it's not something God's ever called me to do. But that's going to take some persistence. If after step one she goes, "Oh, this is too hard," she's never going to get to the 21.6 kilometres, I think, is the half marathon. If she stops after kilometre one, she's not going to get there. She just has to plug away. The Bible says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So when we have hope, when we understand our sure and certain hope of the future, we can have persistence. It's one thing just to sit down and cover ourselves in a doona and wait for God to come through, but it can take more courage to run and consistently do that which is right, even if your heart is burdened or you're facing an adversity. I like little office sayings, like little positive sayings that you can put on the pin board in the office. And there's two that I thought of when I was thinking about persistence. And one has a picture of a rope. And the quote on it says, "When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on." And the other one, a little more graphic, and it's a picture of a pelican. Gay's nodding, she's seen it. Picture of a pelican with a frog in its mouth, but the frog's got his little hands wrapped around the pelican's neck. And the quote says, "Don't give up." And the picture's, you know, it's a funny illustration. The pelican's not giving up because he's trying to eat the frog, and the frog doesn't want to be eaten, so he's hanging on for dear life. Neither of them is giving up. So let's not give up. The stories of the early missionaries are quite amazing when you think about their persistence, and their hope was that they could convert the nations. Let me just share with you some examples of persistence. William Carey in Burma, he laboured for 7 years before he saw his first convert. In Western Africa, it was 14 years before the first soul was brought into the Christian church. In New Zealand, missionaries laboured for 9 years before they had one convert. In Tahiti, 16 years of labour and preaching took place before the harvest of souls began. We have to be consistent and persistent. Persistence overcomes the paralysis of hopelessness. Hopelessness wants to paralyse us, have us not do anything. But hope encourages us to be persistent. By staying steady and continuing to do what we know is right, or by continuing to take steps, we can get out of our rut. If you want to get to that future and the hope that God has for you, you need to hear. You need to realise there are options, and then when you've got options, you need to stay with it and not quit, so be persistent. Sometimes having hope is about entering God's gates. It's entering his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. So the next thing about hope is entering his gates aids hope. There's a verse in Psalms that says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter his courts with praise." And there's a whole psalm there you can read. And entering his gates can be singing songs, even when you don't feel like it. It can be simply picking up the Bible and reading it and praying out loud and praising God. And when you start to do that, you start to remember the scriptures. You start to remember the positive words. You know, sing hymns to yourself like, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." There's a song that I sometimes sing in the mornings, and I sing it because no matter what happens, it's in here, and it's, "There's joy in my heart today, for all my sins have been washed away. And now I have a new song to sing of praises unto Jesus my King. And that joy in my heart, it's the hope that's there no matter what's going on around me. That hope and that joy is not dependent on circumstance, it's dependent on the choice I make for hope. So when you enter his gates, you can walk up and down, you can pray out loud, you can praise, you can sing songs that you remember. But entering his gates aids hope because it brings to the forefront of our mind and our heart those things that we know about God that are true. Two more short things about hope before I finish. And I like this one. When hope is an acronym, you might have picked so far that hope is, you know, hearing, and O is options, and P is peace, and E is entering his gates. Well, the fifth one is its own acronym on its own, and that's a word thing again. But hope offers peace eternal. The promises that we've already talked about, the promises in his word, he has a home for us. And if we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour, we have his eternal promise no matter what happens in this life. Our life is in heaven is assured if we give our hearts to him. And you can read that in Ephesians 2:14 or in Colossians 3:15. But the essence of those two verses say that Christ himself has brought peace and we are called to let that peace rule our hearts. So hope offers peace eternal. No matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances, no matter the storms that might be around, no matter what's going on, hope offers peace eternal. And if you're in a joyful circumstance, then you can share that hope with others because that can offer them the hope of peace eternal. So the five things we've said so far are that hope is helped by hearing and sharing. Hope offers choices, so choose hope. Hope encourages persistence, so be persistent. Entering his gates aids hope, and hope offers peace eternal. And the final thought that I'd like to share about hope is, hope is here. Hope is here now, today, in this place and in our hearts. In Romans 15:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you today that hope is here. We're going to end with a video clip I found that talks about hope being here. And our hope being here is Jesus is here. Jesus came, he won. He came, he died, his victory was won through the resurrection. He now is seated at the right hand and he now lives in our hearts. So hope is here. Hope is here when we're among other people and we can share those stories, but hope is here. So Ash is going to play this clip and then I'll ask Nicole and the guys to come and just finish with the last song. But remember, hope is here.